In a little bit, it will be cocktail hour. Our beautiful villa stands on a hill, the sloping ground covered with small olive trees and long lines of tall, angular cypresses. A mansion in the distance is said to be where George and Amal Clooney spend their summers. I'm on the island for a cushy fellowship, working on a novel. In the week I have been here, this is what I have discovered. One sure way to stop visiting fellows and their spouses from talking to me is to answer them truthfully when they ask what it is I'm doing here. I give my answer and see the light die in their eyes. They nod and look elsewhere. The lake, for instance, which looks lovely at all hours, its color changing constantly. I don't blame anyone. Would you want to talk to someone who says they are studying models of social acceptance? I'm not lying when I say this. I'm just trying to avoid the seductive language of fiction. What I mean in this utterance is simply that I'm thinking about who in our communities will accept lies and deception. As in all matters, all my projects seeded in guilt, I find myself culpable. But on this issue, I have certain others in my sights. If anyone presses, I tell them that my novel is based on an untrue story. In fact, it is based on the many untrue stories that surround us and threaten to destroy us. Often, our world comes to us as bad fiction. Toni Morrison read the New York Times every day with pen in hand, making corrections she felt necessary, deleting words or inserting them as she went along. I thought I could start with that idea. A novel about reading the news. But the pencil marks would be found everywhere, not only on the newspaper. Scientific experiments, for instance. Or a writer's memoir about writing. And, why not, our relationships and the way we live our everyday life. I'm writing a report from the world of hashtag fake news. This evening, while holding my glass of chilled, locally sourced wine, I'd like to be able to tell my interlocutor that the question I'm really asking is this. Who among your neighbors will look the other way when a figure of authority comes to your door and puts a boot in your face? I wonder what their eyes might do then. I use what is called real life to craft my fiction. How is it different from fake news? Novelists with a great gift of imagination have invented situations, often quite simple and uncomplicated ones, that you can never rid from your mind. A family undertaking a long, torturous journey with the corpse of a family member in a coffin to the dead woman's hometown. William Faulkner's As I Lay Dying. Two men on a train, each one wanting to kill someone, propose that they exchange murders and thereby have an alibi. Patricia Highsmith's Strangers on a Train. A woman is on her way to buy flowers for a party she will host that night. Virginia Woolf's Mrs. Dalloway. A young man arriving in a city to collect his father's ashes and going on a drug rampage that sends him into a nightmarish spiral. Edward St. Aubyn, Bad News. I, however, am unable to invent fictional situations, or maybe they don't interest me that much. Real life, even ordinary life, is what fascinates me. The low road of journalistic observation. During his last week in office in January 2017, President Barack Obama gave an interview to a book critic from the New York Times. Obama told the interviewer that his daughter Malia had read Ernest Hemingway's A Movable Feast and was captivated by the writer describing his goal of writing one true thing every day. Quote, "All you have to do is write one true sentence. Write the truest sentence that you know," unquote. When I read the interview, Trump had been president for 2 days, and I think the idea for this book was born then.